Oh, right, yeah. Well, we took our chauffeur down to Llanelli, and there was another guy there with that particular chauffeur, the one we've got now. And we were trying to blow ours, and we couldn't blow it at all. Maybe just went and had a lesson with him. We still couldn't blow it.
Not so a lesson, an anointing. An anointing.
So it's a radio. So anyway, this guy from Colchester, he blew ours, which is a very small chauffeur, and it was a very high pitch. And he said, well, it is very difficult to blow. And when he blew it outside the big marquee where 1,000 people were worshipping, the report came out afterwards that it pierced the atmosphere and broke something in the atmosphere.
Gosh.
So he was quite thrilled with that. So the next day he said, can we swap chauffeurs? Because he wanted to keep ours with its high-pitched tone. So he gave us that one. Amazingly, I can get a bit of sound out of it.
More than a bit of sound.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
It's a powerful blower.
Yeah.
We'll have some more later. Well, thank you for this place, and thank you for the worship that goes up in this place. Lord, we just thank you that you're here. Thank you that you are enthroned on the praises of your people. Lord, would you stretch our spirits tonight that we would know the spiritual effect of our worship in this place. And Lord, we ask, as has already been prayed, that you would speak to each one of us in a way that only you know. We can hear and we can listen and understand and receive. We just welcome you afresh, and we welcome your presence. So this morning, Colin was talking about Jehovah Shammah, the God who is here, or the God who is there. He's there, he's here. It's all about his presence. And just wanted to again emphasize Psalm 16. And particularly the verse, a few verses in verse 3, which is what Colin quoted this morning. As for the godly, the saints who are in the land, they are the excellent, the noble, and the glorious, in whom is all my delight. I don't know whether I have to remind you that we are the saints. You are the saints. And you are excellent, and you are noble, and you are glorious. And he delights in us. I mean, that's just amazing, isn't it? And then in verse 8, I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. He's there all the time. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be fearful. I can relax. He's there. I don't have to be moved. I don't have to be shoved around by the world. I'm in him. How amazing is that? Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory, my inner self, rejoices. So we're talking about our inner self. What's our inner self? Well, I think we can refer to it as our spirit. And we're going to be talking a lot about our spirit tonight. Our spirit rejoices. Now, if our spirit rejoices, my body too shall rest and confidently dwell in safety. Now, it's important for us to recognize the connection. You know, we tend to have it the other way around, don't we? If our body's at peace, if we're all relaxed and, oh, that's nice, you know, then perhaps our spirit sort of relaxes and rests. But the psalmist is saying, well, if your inner self, if your spirit is rejoicing, then your body is at rest and dwelling in safety. And then the last verse, you will show me the path of life. In your presence, in your presence is fullness of joy. Wow. Anyone want joy? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I mean, oh, that we would live in joy. If we live in joy, we can live in joy because, again, going back to this morning, Jehovah Shammah, at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Where's his right hand? Are we with his right hand? Yes? It's all together there. And in Psalm 132, you needn't turn to it, but there are two verses there that says, let your saints shout for joy. So we've got, in your presence is fullness of joy. We're urged to shout for joy. And in Nehemiah 8, again, Nehemiah, do you remember they discovered the book of the law, and Ezra was reading the book of the law to the people and reading it in such a way that they understood. Wasn't just reading it. They understood it. And when they understood what God was saying, they were very upset. Why were they upset? Because they realized that how far away they had come from what God had said. So it says, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. But then Ezra told them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet drink, and send portions to him for whom anything is for whom nothing is prepared. In other words, go and celebrate, go and feast. And if you know of anyone who hasn't got anything to eat, you share what you've got so that you can all feast. And he says, for this day is holy to our Lord. Well, sometimes we confuse holiness with being solemn. The world would say miserable, you know. But what does Ezra say? Be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. Isn't that brilliant? So, can we say that a major characteristic of a saint is their joy? How are we doing? It's challenging, isn't it? Yeah. And again, as I say, you know, I just want to emphasize how much we are saints, and how in the Bible all the way through we're described as saints, so that you know, you don't think that you don't qualify. You do, if you know Jesus. Amen. Just a few verses from Ephesians. Ephesians 1, Paul writes to Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the divine will of God, to the saints at Ephesus. And then later on in verse 15, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, the people of God. And verse 18, by having the, he's saying how he prays for them. I'll read the first verse because it's good. This is what we need to do all the time, to pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he's called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. His inheritance, where is his inheritance? In us. Sometimes we get it the wrong way around, don't we? Our inheritance is in him as well. But he says his inheritance is in us. And in later on, 3:18, what does that say? Again, he's praying, may Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. Again, going back to this morning, that's what we were talking about. His permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power. It's only when we're rooted deep in love and secure in that love, then we have the power and are able to be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. So again, all the time, he's talking about us as the saints. Would you like to turn to your neighbor and say, nice to meet you, Saint Victoria?
Nice to meet you, Saint Victoria. Nice to meet you, Saint Romero.
I don't know why you laugh.
Saint David sounds okay.
But this is it, you know, we've got to receive it, haven't we? And receive it for ourselves. And if we're honest, that isn't easy. But we are all qualified. Why are we qualified? Exactly. Nothing to do with what we've done, but it's a free gift. All we have to do is receive it and say thank you. So why am I talking about the saints? Well, I've been recapping. Yesterday was a day of prayer. I don't know whether you knew about it. A year ago, you probably heard about the day of prayer in Wembley. Did you? 30,000, was it? 33,000 people gathered in Wembley last year for a national day of prayer. And since that day, prayer has escalated around the country. Jonathan Olliard, who has been spearheading that, and he's called it joining the dots. And so all through this last year, since then, they've been sort of connecting prayer events around mostly England. And then yesterday, they were having sort of like the next national day of prayer. And that was up in the north of England, because the saints in the north of England wanted to, you know, said, well, we'll host it up here. And they were going to use St. Helens, Rugby ground. And guess what they were calling it? Saints in the Stadium. It's a good title, isn't it? Right, so you had the saints gathering in the stadium yesterday in St. Helens. Because of that, I'd sort of met a few people, and we said, God's, you know, doing a lot of things, especially in Wales, and it's like we need to hear what he's saying. We need to connect with what God is doing. And they said, well, let's get together. So I saw saints in the stadium, and I thought, okay, well, let's have saints in the valleys. So we had a day in the valleys in Pontypool. So that, because of that day, I backtracked, because we'd had a saints day previously. So I'm going to go back to 2007, if you can backtrack in your mind, because there's been a succession of events. In 2007, there was something in Clonakilty called Celebration for the Nations, and the head of Nations is a mission organization in Clonakilty, and the head, Gail Dixon, she had a vision from the Lord of a sapphire pool and people from every nation trying to reach in to the presence of God, reach, you know, like touch God, as we were hearing about this morning. And God said, you can't break through from your side, but if you worship, if you sing to the wells, and you've heard that expression before, I'm sure, then I will break out. And so in 2007, best part of 1,000 people gathered in Clonakilty on a huge marquee on what was called Festival Fields. And they came from every nation that Wales had blessed by the revival back in 1904. And so you had all the countries, India, Korea,
Aborigines in Australia.
Yeah, so many, you know, who know that they have Wales to thank because we took the gospel to them. So we came back and had a week of worship, which was quite awesome. And that began 7 years, because God said, I want you to do it for 7 years. So for 7 years, they've had this week of worship in Clonakilty. Right, so that began 2007. In January 2008, a guy called Gary Morgan, who was quite prophetic, he came from Neath, and encourage people to taught on prophecy, and said, well, you know, God wants to release his word in you, through you. And he came to Wales. I think he'd left by then, hadn't he? He's gone. I think he's in Australia now. But anyway, his word was, well, it's time for Wales to shine. I've talked about that before, haven't I? I know. Again, the kingdom is in you. It's up to us to shine. And he reckoned that the gates were open, and he was encouraging us to walk through, enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. That's what we've done tonight. That's what we've been taught to do. And he's saying, yes, come on, Wales, it's time. The song is returning to Wales. And it's time for the kingdom to be established. And expression he used was that we are human beings, not human doings. And so often we're so busy doing that we don't stop and be, and again allow God's presence to manifest in us. So then in February 08, there was another word that came, and again, a guy, Bill Hammond, Dr. Bill Hammond, he said that it was the Day of the Saints, and this was the third and final Apostolic Reformation. Now it sounds, you know, like a big word, doesn't it? What does it mean? What does it mean that this is the Day of the Saints? Well, he said that the Saints movement is a time when the saints, believers in Jesus Christ, recognize and act on the understanding that Christ has empowered and commissioned each one of them to be the church 24/7, manifesting the kingdom of God wherever they live and work. Every believer has the ability to manifest the supernatural in a miraculous way. And every saint is called to demonstrate the gospel of the kingdom in their sphere of influence. How are we doing? Because that's us, yeah? It is the time to give all of our life and labor to be co-workers together with Christ, co-workers, remember, in demonstrating and enforcing his kingdom in all the earth. So that's our mandate, isn't it? To bring his kingdom from heaven down to earth. It's what we pray all the time. So that was in March, and that was in February, I said, wasn't it? And the 1st of March, of course, is St. David's Day. And before I knew that word was going to come out, I'd already planned a Saint's Day in Pontypool. Hence, it was Pontypool yesterday. So on March the 1st, 2008, a group of us gathered in Pontypool, not that many, 20, 30, I can't remember how many there were, and declared again that it was Saints' Day, we were the saints, and you know the song, don't you? Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in. Dun, 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 bum, bum, bum. When the saints go marching in. So we've got to be active, haven't we? Right? Now, recapping on all that was quite, oh, wow, so that was 2008. It's now 2013. What's happened since then? How are we done with our marching? You know, it's good to go back, isn't it? And remind ourselves of what God has said, where we're supposed to be. Does any of you remember what happened on the 14th of September that year? Something very important. It was a Sunday. Well done, Nisia. It was your Jubilee. Yes? Anyone remember your Jubilee? What happened on your Jubilee? Yes. And Colin and Paul Hulebeck. Yeah, so that's how I know. So again, it was like it was fascinating going back, you know, in my book, because I must confess I wouldn't have remembered. And then, wow, 2008, Siloam's Jubilee. And I don't expect you to remember what I talked about. There we are, so you got it. That's what I talked about. The Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah is roaring over Siloam, over this area, and he's saying, yes, you're mine. Come on, you're mine. Oh, it was brilliant. I could, you know, say it all again. Well, I enjoyed going through it anyway.
What?
Yes, that's right. And what's the connection between the Lion of Judah, and Jubilee? Well, the connection is the word Jubilee, which stands for a lot of things. But one of the words is Ruach. And Ruach, R-U-A-C-H. Yeah, well, it's the breath of God. So it's the breath of God coming. And that's, you know, the breath of the lion, if you like, coming. It's his spirit that ignites everything. It's not by power, it's not by strength, but it's by his spirit, says the Lord. We've got to understand that it's his spirit, it's his breath that gives life to everything. And we are made in his image. How's your roar? You've got a roar in you. The breath of his spirit. Pardon?
I remember how it's all coming back. You just do that to you.
Did I? Oh, I don't remember that. But this is it. It's giving ourselves, isn't it? Allowing his activation in us, even when it doesn't make sense. You know, I mean, I don't know whether I shared then how, and I don't know when it started, but it's like I had this sort of like roar in me, and it used to come out sometimes, and usually I'd be on the floor and I'd sort of like roar into the ground. Well, that seems a bit stupid, doesn't it? And then I discovered a few things about the lion, and he roars into the ground, and the sound goes for 5 miles. So it's like, oh, okay. You know, okay, Lord, you know what you're doing. If you want to use my breath, because it's not my breath, it's your breath. I've given my breath over to you. You have it. Can't make sense of it with my mind. And this is our problem, and this is what we've got to recognize, that we try to make sense of everything. Well, how are you going to make sense of God? You know, he's huge for a start. But he's spirit. And we are spirit as well. We have his DNA. So we can only understand in the spirit. There are things that, you know, we've just got to put our mind, our spirit needs to be on top of our mind, not our mind on top of the spirit. Yeah? We have it the wrong way around. So I enjoyed recapping what we did in 2008. I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. Did you hear the sound of the army of the Lord when we worshiped tonight? You know, Jericho must fall. It's the same, isn't it? Hearing the sound of the army of the Lord. So then we'll fast track to September 2012. So that's only last September. And a guy called Willie Soames, he's an Indian pastor, came over to West Wales because God had given him a word for Wales the year before. and he'd had to keep it a year. So it was like burning in his spirit for a whole year, and then he was finally sort of like given permission to release it. And it was a very passionate word, and it was based on Acts 3, and he declared that over Wales that this is the hour of prayer. And he said that there's a window of opportunity over Wales, and, you know, we need to know that. A window doesn't stay open forever, and when God opens a window, you have to grasp it, and you have to take advantage of it, and you have to act. Again, we've talked a lot recently about there's been a shift of seasons. You know, we're in a new day, we're in a new season. When you are in a new season, you have to change your clothes, don't you? You don't wear the same in the summer as you do in the winter. The sons of Issachar, do you remember them? They knew the seasons, they knew the times, and they knew what to do. So we've got to be alert. So he released this word over Wales. As a result of that, in the March of this year, 2013, we had a National Day of Prayer for Wales, which again was a new thing. It's like, come on, Wales, let's get together, let's pray. And so about 300 gathered in mid-Wales, and that's quite a thing for Wales, Welsh and English, coming together to repent, to unite one with the other. And you know God's promise, don't you? When brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, there he commands the blessing. And it's like he says, this is what I've been waiting for. When I see you together, when I see you laying down your differences, then I can pour out so much more of my spirit. And on that day, one of the significant things of that day, on the sort of like the stage, there was this huge banner. Guess what? Lion of Judah. And people who had been sort of like planning the conference, again, they'd had sort of like visions of the lion going over Wales, roaring over Wales. Well, you'd already had it in 2008. Okay? Get the connection, right? Because we've got to connect with what is going on. You know, you might think that you're just a small group, but you're not, you're huge. Because you're connected with all your other brothers and sisters, not only across the nation, but across the world. And we've just got to remember that. Yeah? So then we come to July 2013. It's last July. So in this July, it was the seventh year. Remember I said about celebrations? And God said, do it for 7 years. Well, that's a long time, you know, for a mission organization to set aside a major part of their year, of their work, to just concentrate on worshiping the Lord for a week. But they did it every year. And say this year was the final year. They went back to having a tent on the same fields as we had at the beginning, because God said so. It didn't make sense in the natural, because in the intervening years we'd hired a leisure centre, which is much cheaper, much more user-friendly, nice toilets that you don't have to clean, you know, and that doesn't depend on the weather, things like that. Don't have to get the electric in, and you know. So you're talking about 3 or 4 times the cost to have it in a tent. But God said, what do you do when God says? And it just, you know, doesn't add up to our minds. But do you step out in faith? They stepped out in faith. All the finances came in. They've had more than enough. And they've even been able to bless other nations that came in to support them. And that's what God does. But faith is spelt risk so often, isn't it? Yeah? Have to take that step of faith. And one of the things that they, you know, sort of when they were sort of like inviting people to come, and they said, you're coming as the bride. Right? Now, this is another analogy, if you like, of who we are, that we haven't really spent a lot of time on, but we are the bride. Yes? Men and women, we are the bride of Christ. And all that that means, that's another sermon. And again, we were invited to worship like the woman who, do you remember the woman who broke the alabaster box? She brought this expensive, you know, perfume. It was all she had. And she broke it and just poured it over the feet of Jesus. And people said, oh, what a waste, you know, all that money. And Jesus said, no, it's not wasted. You know, she did it out of love for me. And that was the sort of like the way that we joined together. Again, I reckon about 1,000 people gathered for that. Well, 10 days this year it was. 32 nations were represented. And part of the, interestingly, part of the week, there was the Jericho March. It was interesting that you sang about Jericho tonight. So again, God had said about this Jericho march round the tent 7 times. So you've got the whole of this, you know, congregation, as I say, about 1,000 people. Can, you know, just imagine the logistics of it. You've got the band, you've got the shofar blowers, you know, the trumpets and the people. And they all walked around 7 times and then came back into the tent. And coming back into that tent and just being in silence. Now, for 1,000 people with children, for silence, that's something. Quite awesome. And then the shout, you know, Ruah. It was amazing. So on to September this year, and Colin referred to it this morning, a prophetic guide, Chuck Pierce, again, a well-known person, travels all over the world, you know, he's well-known for saying, you know, what God is saying, and, you know, significantly, his words coming to pass, you know, I mean, that's always a good sign, isn't it, that he's hearing from God. So he came to Swansea in September, and he was confirming the significance of worship. Oh, gosh, how much time have you got? You all right? So again, you know, how key worship is. And again, I just want to honor you for your worship. And for you to know that it is so significant. It is so, so significant. And he said that it was like because of our worship, he could see these sealed doors in heaven that had been sealed for 100 years. But the worship was breaking open the seal of these doors. And of course, you know, again, for those of us who knew about what had happened in celebrations, dealing with Wales as a whole, you know that was, you know, a big part, you know, because they weren't doing it for themselves. You're never doing it for yourselves. You know, you're doing it for everyone else, aren't you? And one of the things that he said was, I've come to repair the door of the house of my people. If you will allow me to repair the door of your house, you will come out and help me repair the door of my house. And then you will build an altar, new and fresh, in this land. I've been waiting for you to pour yourself out to me again. And I felt that, again, what God is saying, which refers again to what we've been thinking about today. He says, if you repair the door of your house, what's the door, what's your house? Where does he live? Yes. It has to start with us, doesn't it? Right? So we're the first tabernacle, if you like. So we have to repair our house. We have to, look at ourselves. Be holy as I am holy. And then when we look at ourselves, then, he says, then you can come out and repair the door of my house. Well, this is his house, isn't it, corporately? But then again, doesn't stop there. He says, then you'll build an altar, new and fresh, in the land. And that's what, again, we're looking for. That's our mandate, isn't it? That again, we want everyone to turn back to God. Yes? And God says, if my people will return to me and pray, then I will heal my land. Again, it's if we have him as the right focus, if we build that altar, and again, it's not something that is man-made, because we are the living stones, aren't we? Right? And so that's the altar that he's wanting to build amongst us. Quite awesome, isn't it? This morning, Sue was here, and she shared with me that they're off in where have they gone? Oxford tonight. That's why they're not here celebrating Paul's birthday. She shared Isaiah 42. And she said, well, before she came to this morning, this is what she had, Isaiah 42, verse 5. Thus says God the Lord, he who created the heavens and stretched them forth, he who spread abroad the earth and that which comes out of it, he who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. So again, he gives breath to us and he gives spirit to us. It's the same sort of thing. And as she was coming in the car, she was playing, the river of life sets my feet a dancing. The river of life fills my heart with joy. The river of life sets my feet to dancing. I don't know the other words, but the last bit, and the river is here. And actually, if, Colin had chosen something to sing, he wanted to sing about coming to the river this morning, didn't you? So again, it's like God is saying, yeah, come to the river. And in that, chapter in verse 9, it's like, behold, the former things have come to pass. New things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So he's telling us, he's saying, come on. New things are springing forth. Can you see them? This is our revival breaking forth. So I just want to refer to a few passages about the Spirit. Again, Colin referred this morning about in me you live and move and have our being. What does that mean? In Acts 17, in the message, Paul saying, God makes the creatures don't make him. Starting from scratch, he made the entire human race, and he made the earth hospitable, with plenty of time and space for living, so we could seek after God. He wasn't rushed. His plan was that we would seek after him and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He's not remote. He's near. Just emphasizing again what we heard this morning. We live and move in him. Can't get away from him. So don't try. Just turn your face and say, okay, you know, yeah, hi, you gonna walk with me today? He's your friend, he's your brother, as well as your, you know, counselor and your Lord and your Savior, and wow. So we're talking again, we're talking about spirit, aren't we? And I want you to begin thinking about spirits, because we, you know, again, we're not very good at it. We're much better in thinking in the natural and the things that we can touch and see and handle and the things that make sense. God wants to fill us with his spirit. In 1 Corinthians, familiar words, no one's ever seen. Well, they mightn't be quite familiar because I'm reading in the message, but you'll recognize it. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it. He wants to blow your mind. What God has arranged for those who love him. We've got to stretch our imagination, stretch our spirits. The best thing that you can think of, well, it's more. And then Paul says, but you've seen and heard it. You've seen and heard it. Because God, by his Spirit, has brought it all out into the open before you. The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning, except you yourself. The same with God, except that he not only knows what he thinks, what he's thinking, but he lets us in on it. That's good, isn't it? I mean, how awesome is that? He lets us in on what he is thinking. Do you spend time listening? Do you spend time just dampening down your flesh and your body and your busyness to hear his still, small voice? We have the same sort of thing in Ephesians. Again, the song that comes to mind that you know very well, I am a new creation. Again, we sing it so easily, but, you know, we've got to just take it in deeper. We are a new creation. Again, Paul says, everything about the old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. What are you hanging on to it for? Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new life. A God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. So that when you're walking along, people don't see you. They'll see Jesus. Gain, you know, all the things that we were reminded of this morning. His manifest presence, the perfume, the fragrance. What's, you know, one of the main characteristics, of course, is love. That love has to exude out of us for whoever. And we have to practice it, don't we? Again, it's easy in here. It's not so easy maybe at home with family, neighbors, enemies even. But that's the characteristic. That's what God is forming in us. And we are the manifestation of his love. When we talk about, you know, the earth being filled with his glory, what's that going to look like? Well, it's going to look like all of you being carriers of his glory. And just, can you imagine it? Start picturing it. Start believing it. I haven't got many more, you'll be glad to know. 2 Timothy. Some things are better in the Amplified. And it's Paul again talking to Timothy, and again he's reminding him, he said, I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers, fan the flame, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire. You know, again, this is it, stirring up our spirits. It won't happen automatically. We've got to stir it up, but know that the stirring is all about letting him in to do the stirring, not something that we have to, you know, really strive for. It's not about striving, but we have to allow our spirits to stir up within us. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Wow. You've got all those things? Yes, you have. Right? Okay, you can recognize that, oh, yeah, perhaps I wasn't very good there. Oh, yeah, no, I lost it there. But again, don't beat yourself up. Right? We have Jesus forgives us. Right? He said, you know, he forgives us. As we forgive others, we've got to be very intent about forgiving us that do something against us. But often we're better at that than we are in forgiving ourselves. And forgiving ourselves is very, very important, because otherwise you keep yourself in bondage. So let yourself off the hook. Yes, say sorry, you know, and mean it. It's no good just going on and, you know, doing the same thing. Oh, well, you'll forgive me, you know. That's not what we're talking about, is it? But, yes, be forgiving. In John 16, we have Jesus saying about this spirit. I'd encourage you to read John 16 at your leisure. Jesus says, I still have many things to tell you. He told his disciples a lot, didn't he? He was with them for 3 years, and he was intent on teaching them. But here he was coming, he knew he was coming to the end of his life with them. And he said, I've still got loads of things to tell you. He says, but you can't handle them now. But when he's talking about, if I go, then his friend's going to come. Who's his friend?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. When the friend comes, the Spirit of truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen, and indeed out of all that I have done and said. He will honor me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. And that is why I've said, he takes from me and delivers to you. So again, it's like, we've got to get to know Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus, yes, we can see, because we can see his life, can't we? And we can see how he operated. Holy Spirit, a bit more difficult. But the Holy Spirit reveals more of Jesus to us. And again, he's that breath in us. And lastly, Romans 8, 26 and 27. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does, he says, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. Have you ever had times when you don't know what to pray? And he says, well, the Holy Spirit will come to our aid. The Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. Wow. That's why we need to pray in the Spirit. That's why we have the gift of tongues. But again, know that the Holy Spirit comes to our aid. He who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God on behalf of the saints, according to and in harmony with God's will. And again, that's always our prayer, isn't it? We want to be in God's will. And sometimes we don't know. We say, what is your will, Lord? Well, the Holy Spirit knows. Okay, Holy Spirit, just show me, tell me. So, this is a new day. We'll not accomplish God's purposes on our own strength. We need the Word, the flesh. Jesus said, that's my body. It's the flesh, the Word. But we also need his Spirit. We need the two together, joined together. So it's time to surrender our minds, our flesh, and our spirits to his Spirit and allow him to rise up in us. We're familiar with, you know, they used to have those bracelets. I don't know whether they still do them. What would Jesus do? To remind, you know, people, you know, only do what Jesus would do. But again, this is going like a step further, because when we operate in the Spirit, well, it's not in the natural. It's in the Spirit. So let's practice allowing his Spirit to rule and reign in us and have full possession of us. Yes? Shall we pray?